97. Psalm 97. Psalm 97 is another great coronation psalm. The coronation psalm means it was used. It's a coronation psalm. Let me, according to a number of new families here, let me just, since I started the psalms, which is when I got off the boat with Noah. I was saying goodbye to Enoch. But anyway, the psalms, in the middle of your Bible, they are the songbook of the Hebrew people. Most of the psalms are written by King David, and meticulously written. Of course, you and I know that the Holy Spirit of God gave the writers of the scriptures and told them what to write. And so we have, it's God's book. It's incredible, the psalm, because the psalm is so full of teaching. Today, one of those days, overwhelmed. And I went to the psalms, and of course, I try to read five psalms a day, and I try to read one proverb and one chapter of Acts at least. And I'm doing a little bit of work in Colossians, but anyway, the psalms that God gave me today, starting off with Psalm 31, were tremendous and really remind me about trusting God and why I trust God. And I wrote a sermon to myself. I talked about trust. We trust God, and I thought of all the people that we trust. We trust law enforcement, keep the laws. We trust the teachers of our children to teach their best they can to our children. We trust them with them. We trust the pharmacist when we go in, and when the doctor sends a prescription over to the pharmacy, we trust them. We trust our doctor with our body, with our life. We trust ambulance crews. We trust firemen. We trust, and on and on. I just wrote a whole bunch of things, people that we trust. You go into a grocery store and you trust you get good meat. Or you're a little smarter than that and go out and get your own, amen. But anyway, and cut it on, process it on, and then you got it on, you know what it was. But anyway, there's some things in our life. There's so many things in our life that I literally put my trust in people. And so do you. And I thought, here God says over in the Psalms says how that we trust the Lord. And I thought, boy, oh boy, how true is that? You get ejected out of there. Jackson, you're out of there. All right. Where's your brother, Jaden? Nursery, okay. All right. Well, you're going to have more fun here. Do you need candy or anything? Do I need to give you? I got these hot red cinnamon teddy bears. Did he like those? No, I don't. Do you like these? Yeah. Anybody else like one? Anybody else? Way in the back. All right, there you go. Went right through your hands. You had it like this. Went right through there. I mean, you know, kind of reminded a football player. Yes, sir. It's all gone. So you didn't wave your hands quick enough. All right. All right. Let's stand to give God the honor of reading his word. Psalm 97. I love this. Now remember now, you got to remember now, this is a prophetic psalm. This is what's going to happen. Y'all know that we're in what we call the church age right now, the age of grace. This is where we are saved by faith through grace in Jesus Christ, not of ourselves, it's the gift of God. Jesus Christ ushered in the church age when he left. And the 12 disciples started the church in Jerusalem and on. Okay, we're in that. But we're looking for the next thing that's going to happen, Jesus Christ coming back for us. And that is the trump of God shall sound, and Christ arise, and the remains shall be caught up. we're looking for that. That's what we're looking for. And we will ever be with the Lord. That's a wonderful thing for me. Because if you've ever read Revelation, ever read Matthew, you know, read about the 70, you read about the 7 years of tribulation, 3.5 years of tribulation, 3.5 great tribulation. You do not want to be here when there's 100-pound stones, fire stones coming from heaven. There are all kinds of beasts and things after you, and all kinds of the crazy things going on. We will ever be with the Lord. Isn't that good? Aren't you glad about that? Amen. And so that's why we want to get as many people we can get saved. Then, at the end of the 7 years, Satan is going to be cast in the bottom of the pit, and they're going to chain him, chain that pit up so that he cannot get out of there. And for 1,000 years, this earth is going to blossom like the Garden of Eden. And you and I, who trusted Jesus Christ, our personal Savior, we will rule and reign with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we will reign with the mind of Christ. We will have the mind of Christ then, and we will rule with a rod of iron. And if a man has to be 100 years old, if he openly rebels against God, off goes his head. That's the way it is. Taking care of business. Amen. Problem in this world today, that ought to be happening, and it'd be taking care of a lot of problems that we're having today in America and in this world if we do business. God said, if a man takes another man's life and he's guilty, he should be executed. That's what the Bible says. I'm just reporting, okay? Don't kill the messenger. Don't kill the messenger. All right, Psalm 97. And I'm happy to talk to you about that. If you'd like to have a discussion with me about that, about capital punishment, I'd love to. You bring your Bible, I'll bring mine, and we'll show you what the Bible says, okay? All right. And I'm not being cocky about it. I'm just telling you, I always have discussion with people. If a man's got a question, I'll answer you with the Bible. I'm more than happy to do that. I really am. And you have a problem with some things that are going on in life, and let me show you what the Bible says, okay? And then you can take it from there. You're old enough, amen? You're adults enough. We can agree to disagree without being ornery about it, amen? All right. The Lord reigneth, let the earth rejoice. Now remember now, this is 1,000 years. The Lord is reigning now. Let the earth rejoice. Let the multitude of the isles be glad thereof. Clouds and darkness are round about him. Righteousness and judgment are the habitation of his throne. A fire goeth before him and burneth up his enemy round about. His lightnings enlightened the world the earth saw and trembled. The hills melted like wax at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the Lord of the whole earth. The heaven declare his righteousness, and all the people see his glory. Confounded be all they that serve graven images and boast themselves of idols. Worship him, all ye gods. Zion heard and was glad, and the daughters of Judah rejoiced because of thy judgment, O Lord. For thou, Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all gods. Ye that love the Lord hate evil. He preserveth the soul of the saints. He delivereth them out of the hands of the wicked. Light is shown for the righteous, and gladness for the upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. May God have the blessing of the word of God. As he always does, let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for tonight. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that there's a day coming that the wickedness is going to be put away. And thank you, Lord Jesus, for these trials that you put us through to raise us up and to strengthen us. And so we look forward to that wonderful day in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The psalm divides into two major parts. We see the Lord celebrated first as the reigning one in Psalm 97 verse 1 through 9, and then as the righteous one, Psalm 97, 10 through 12. The two are inseparable, that what will make the millennials reign, the golden age of the earth in its history. At last there will be rule over the sons of men, one who will not only reign with invincible power, but absolute integrity. You see that righteousness? Boy, I don't know about you, but I'm sick and tired of people lying. I'm sick and tired of people cheating. I'm sick and tired of people going at things that are just unlawful to do. I'm just tired of it. And you think about this and you say, glory to God, hallelujah, pass the biscuit, bless God, the Lord's coming. And we're no more this baloney that we keep getting. Our media is so biased against the things that are right. They just keep throwing it out. And throwing it out, and throwing out, and throwing out. They say if they tell the lie long enough, it's truth. And so one of these days, it's going to happen. And you ought to be shouting glory hallelujah on that, amen. Now, first of all, let's look at the reigning one. The psalmist sees the coming king in two ways. He sees, first of all, the ruler of all nature. The ruler of all nature. His majesty's sovereign domain, the Lord reigneth, let the earth rejoice, let the multitude of the isles be glad thereof. Now when you look at that word isles, it's translated the fact that it kind of has this idea that it refers generally to what we call the sea girth. You remember God in Genesis said that, that he separated the land from the water. On the third day he separated land from the water. And then he made the grass and the herbs and all the, I call it the herbs and spices day, man. And made the trees and the fruit trees and all that on the third day. You remember that? That's a wonderful thing because if you don't have land to build on, you don't have land to grow things on, you can have your rubber ducky in your boat for a while, but you got to have something to, you got to have some land, amen. And on the third day, God separated land from water, and he put a girth, or he said, all right, see, no trespassing here. You can't go any farther. Now, of course, there are some things like the tsunamis and things like that have happened that we really are thankful that that sea stays there a lot, amen. But there are God set that up, and God's talking about here the islands. He's talking about beyond the shores of Israel, there are these lines that made up our different continents, and the land, the Mediterranean, that vast landlocked sea that bounded much of the Bible world. But in a larger context, the psalmist is referring to the Gentile nations as the whole. He sees the crowds filled with joy at the thought of the last true king has come to reign. And we ought to be thrilled about that. Amen. You ought to be thrilled that one of these days, righteousness is going to rule. I don't know about you, but I get sick and tired when things happen and it's not fair to people that have been doing it or giving their life to certain things, that, and then somebody comes and takes it. Or they make some mistake and somebody finds a loophole and drills them about it. Amen. God's going to say, no, that's not the way it is. I always thought, God's omnipresent. When we come down to rule and reign for the Lord Jesus Christ, he's going to give us our mind. Wouldn't that be nice if a parent had the mind of Christ right now? And little Johnny whacks Susie, and Daddy puts the Board of Education to the seat of knowledge to the boy, not realizing that little Susie ought to be taken to the woodshed. But she didn't know that, because she's a better liar than he is. And she can get away with more stuff. Every time you look at him, he looks guilty. And if you make him hard enough, he'll admit to it whether he did it or not. Our police officers do that once in a while, but anyway. Get you to confess to anything, pretty much. So we have the majesty of the sovereign dominion. He is there. He comes. In 1945, after a six seemingly endless years of war, the armies of the Third Reich finally surrendered. There had been the blackout, the bombs, the stringent rationing. We have forgot these things. It's terrible. The hideous way that the Germans did to so many. And we forget that. Now they're saying it never happened. And there had been trainloads of wounded and endless lists of dead. Suddenly it all stopped. And the lights were on all over the world again. The troops were coming home. The horror camps were emptied. And the worldwide jubilation. War criminals were rounded up and forced to answer for their atrocities that had committed against mankind. I know you don't remember that. Hope you've read that in the news. I mean, read that in the history book. They're trying to rewrite our history book if you haven't figured that one out. And great though that battle was, it was the mirror turning page of history compared to the worldwide jubilation is going to be when Jesus Christ comes back again. Amen. The greatest tribulation will cease. Armageddon will be part of the end of the organized resistance plan against God. Satan will be bound and imprisoned. The beast and the false prophets will be cast headlong into hell. And at last there will be peace. World will shout, "The Lord reigneth, let the earth rejoice, let the multitude of the isles be glad thereof." That's going to be a great day. The world is really looking for somebody to help them right now. Now, you and I know, and I hope you do that they're looking for an Antichrist. They're looking for someone who will feed them, will clothe them, and protect them, and give them peace. And you can imagine, in the elections that we've had, the elections we will have, how that will turn and work on people's voting. I don't care about my rights. I only care about the money I'm getting. I deserve it. I deserve it because I was born American. Now, if you go back a couple centuries about that, you work for what you got. And my father was quite, his mind wasn't straight right at the last. And he heard somebody said that they were going to take away his Social Security, so he voted for somebody else that he shouldn't have voted for. Morally, he shouldn't have voted for that man. Because that man believed in abortions. You know, you remember the night that we, before the election, I said there's two reasons why you should vote. You should be careful you vote. One for sodomy and one for abortions. That'll take care of it. You know. But he was afraid that he was going to lose his Social Security. And if he lost his Social Security, he thought he'd go to the poor farm. I hate to tell you that, but you ain't going to no poor farm because I'm going to take care of you. If I have to go to the poor farm. But there's a lot of scare tactics out there, and I thank God that one of these days, those will be gone. And we will be ruled by a righteous God who looks at things perfectly, and all that. He knows everything about us, because he made us, amen. Secondly, the majesty's secret dwelling. Clouds and darkness are round about him. Righteousness and judgment are the habitation of his throne. He dwelleth in the hidden place, in the clouds and the darkness, in the holy place where righteous judgment sits enthroned. Mystery and majesty are associated with the throne. Somebody said, "Well, I don't ever know everything about God." Well, if you knew everything about God, he wouldn't be much of a God. How in the world can a God speak? And if you went in and looked in the Hubble telescope on your internet and see those magnificent, magnificent pictures of the universe that mankind has never seen before. The dark hole, I remember when I was in high school in class, and they talked about the dark hole. Then when I was in college, they talked about the dark hole. You know what? Mr. Hubble telescope went in there and took a couple pictures of the dark hole, and they found out that there were like 200 more constellations and things way out there, and they got pictures of them, and they said it's just infinity and beyond. This verse acknowledges the mystery which surrounds God's way, the deep darkness, literally the thick darkness which hides Him from us today and which shrouds His way upon the earth with such mystery should not cause us to doubt. He governs, can never depart from righteousness, from that which is right. We can take courage in that. There may be times when His secret dwelling is completely obscured from us, and when the circumstance of life seems to close in on us, as they did on Job, when He remained silent to our cry, and when He's seemingly indifferent to our situation, but all the time, God is at work. We don't understand these things that go on in our lives. Some of us get very overwhelmed. Some of us get very, we don't know which way to turn. I talked to a fellow the other day. He said, my mind, I said, do your mind feel like a bumblebee nest? Somebody just hit it with a rock? He said, yeah, that's what I feel. Well, a lot of us feel that way. You know, we're trying to concentrate on things, and all of a sudden somebody takes our concentration away from us. We're trying to do this, and something happens. Trying to do this, and a phone rings, text message, email, whatever. Someone's blinging, beeping, ringing, something's going in our pocket all the time, amen? And we just seem like we don't have much time to think. You know, the psalmist had a pretty good reason. One thing he said, be still and know that I'm God. Just once in a while, you ought to unhook all that junk that you have and just be still for a moment. Today I was studying my Bible, and I remember the scripture where the Bible says in Psalm 1, it says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the sin of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in that law, that they meditate day and night. I cannot meditate when I'm reading the text and when I'm getting phone calls and when I'm getting my emails and when I get all, I cannot meditate on what God has for me. I've got to take some time to be quiet. May I encourage you to take some time to be quiet? Just stop. For the most part, you don't have too many emergencies in your life. I know there's a few of us that are on call all the time. But you got to take time. You've got to take time to know who God is. All these things are against me, cried Jacob. In the hour deep in despair, indeed, it seemed like, but already Joseph was making things work together for good. And he became seated at the right hand of the power of Egypt. All the things that happened to him. There's some things that happened to you that are going to just make you better. There's some things that happened to you today that are just going to if you won't fail from it, you won't fail the test, and you will keep going, and you won't get so upset and so bewildered and say, oh, woe is me, and just bite the bullet and grit your teeth for a little bit and say, well, I'll hang on here. My little wife said to me tonight, I can't. And I looked her in her two beautiful little green blue eyes, and I said, baby, I said, you got married to a shear, and you took on my name. And I said, there's something that shears don't do. We don't use the word can't. I will find a way, or I will find someone that knows how to do what I need to do, or I'll fall on my face before holy God and I'll beg God to get it done, but it'll get done. There are some things that I may beg God for that He don't want me messing with. And boy, I'll tell you, He'll let you know, won't He? Get your hand off that. No, I don't want you to do that.
Amen.
Go to God. Go to God when things puzzle you. Do you realize the difference between you at work and some other person at work that does not know the Lord Jesus Christ? You've got a straight line to heaven. God, I don't understand this. Some guy treating you bad, dear Lord, you know my heart. And you're gonna have to take care of this thing for me. Yeah. Lord, I don't understand that. Lord, I don't feel well, but you're gonna have to get through this thing. Yes, you can. Silas, you're gonna have to use a few of those things the next few weeks. Yes, you are. And you got a whole bunch of people back at Heritage Baptist praying for you, young man. And we love you here. And we're proud of you. You're one of us. And when things are getting bad, you think old preacher said, hey, they're not such a word as can't. That guy, that soldier yells and screams and uses profanity at you, and they will. You're going to make it. You're going to make it.
Amen.
You just decide right now, I'm going to make it. Just say, if it kills me, I'm going to make it. And it'll feel like you get killed a couple times. How many guys accept that? Believe that, yeah. Look at all these guys raising their hand, amen. It's a cakewalk, man. Well, if you grab the cake, they're all going to be after you, man. I'm going to tell you, that's how it is. And you ain't going to be walking very long. Number three, the majesty's strong divisions. A fire goes before him and burneth up his enemy around about. His lightning enlightens the world. The earth saw and trembled. The hills melted like wax at the presence of the Lord of the whole earth. Return with me again back to World War II. The Western power won the war and lost the peace. Nazis' aggression had been replaced by communist aggression. Let me remind you, nothing improved at all. Britain emerged from World War II exhausted, impoverished, virtually bankrupt. She lost her empire, as did France and Holland and Belgium. Worse, as the imperialist power one by one surrendered their strategic bases around the world, Russia moved in. The United States picked up and made the mantle for the world's power and had spent herself into virtual bankruptcy trying to bolster half-hearted allies and pay the price of peace and propping up the economy of the world. Yes, we did. Yes, we did. Nothing has changed. Or rather, everything has changed and it is for the worse. The world now faces a far more powerful force than before. It is horrified by the vision of the superpowers armed with these bombs, dirty bombs, and the terrorism. And they're determined to take over the world.
Amen.
Yes, they are. They're infiltrating. England is not the England we used to know. England is Muslim. Check it out. Look out what's going on there. And they're infiltrating. Coming to America. Go to Detroit. Every time I fly into Detroit Airport, I think I'm in Mecca or someplace. Everybody's got the turbans. Everybody got the junk on. Amen. You know, when my family moved over here from Europe, we became Americans. We didn't keep our dress. We We put on blue jeans and Oshkosh overalls and cowboy hats and work the land. The world today, we're being choked in this mantle of guile, and we're everything has to be said just right. Or like yesterday, I noticed on the TV yesterday that we're not going to use the word illegal immigrants. Let me hold that. Saw that. Yes, you are illegal if you... Listen, if I want to go to Russia and sneak... Hey, what about Nepal? Can you sneak in Nepal and stay there? No, you can't. They'll deport you. Any place. But America! Oh, come on. Come on in and we'll give you everything. Never, I'm not going there. Sorry.
Well.
Hit that organ one. Jeet, jeet. It will not be like that when Jesus comes. His majesty's strong divisions cannot be overthrown. All nature stands instant at his command. Do it! Whew. Done. Amen. He can summon fire from the sky. Turn solid rocks into lava. Command fiery hailstones. Man's puny weaponry. Oh, wow. The nuclear warhead. Shoot. That isn't even a lady finger to God. Amen. Y'all know what a lady finger is, don't you? One of those ones you thought you could hold in your finger when you lit it. And after you did, you wished you didn't. Amen. Firecracker. For the nations... to go up against him with intercontinental ballistic missiles armed with multiple nuclear warheads would be like to fight the Russians by tossing a pitchfork at him. He is the ruler of all nations and the ruler of all nature. I am glad I'm a Christian. I am glad that I know him as my personal Savior. He speaks, and it's done. B, the ruler of all nations, the ruler of all nations, all nations are going to acknowledge his coming. I love that.
Amen.
And I don't look what my clock says, but anyway, I'll stop there. No, I won't. Yes, I will. Let's stand.